Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we are on the air. Bet you didn't think you'd hear these voices today.
Let's go. Not in that third inning for the Nats.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's 4:30. We are with you for all of 2 hours. We will get our money's worth. Pack a punch today. Over these next 120 minutes, we will take you up to 6:30. We've got our fantasy series at 5. We're doing it all week long. Different position group every single day. If you're not into fantasy football, don't worry. It's just a good little conversation on how some of the stars in the sport are going to play this season. And we'll get ready for college football. Massive weekend. One of the biggest games of the year. Noon on Saturday. Danny Cannell will be joining the show. That's coming up in 90 minutes right at 6 o'clock here on The Fan. Danny, how was your afternoon?
Fantastic, my friend. First of all, sorry. Sorry about that teaser trailer for the fall that we had today. Now, I know it's false fall. It's the D.C. area. It's going to get back to 114 degrees again and feel like soup. I know that, but this is just the reminder. It's almost time. You InShape Instagram people, you 4% body fat people, you people that I just can't believe summer's over. Believe it. It's coming. Our time is almost here. It's the time for the soft bodies. Fall. It's on its way.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Can't do it a whole lot better than the weather today. There's a lot going on. Plenty to talk about. Let's get right after it here on Grant and Danny. We'll start with the Commanders forming their practice squad. We now know what it looks like, and this is going to be an evolving group of players.
Yeah, it's in progress.
This is not going to stay the same, but here's some of your notables. Sam Hartman's back in the building. Rough preseason. They like him in the QB room. He's obviously very close, good buddies with Jaden Daniels, so he is the fourth quarterback in the organization. For right now, Josh Johnson is on the 53-man roster. At 39 years old, he'll be the third quarterback. I'm still curious to see if he makes it to week one as the third QB or if they end up going outside the org and making a shift. But I will say, they did not claim anybody. Very different than they didn't try to claim anybody. We have no idea if they put in waiver wire claims.
That's the cost you pay for being, what's the word, good.
Yeah, they were right? 29th out of 32 teams in the waiver wire order. So in the reverse order, just like in your fantasy leagues, from the team that picked first in the draft, the Tennessee Titans, to the team that hoists the Lombardi Trophy, the Philadelphia Eagles, 1 through 32, Danny, in the National Football League, in order, you get to claim players. And Washington at 29 didn't successfully claim anybody. So they didn't add anybody to the roster just yet, so any movement is going to happen starting today. But Sam Hartman's back on the practice squad. I don't think that's a surprise. You generally want a project young guy on your P squad, and they seem to like Hartman in the building.
Yeah, to me, that's more about camaraderie than play. I mean, I'm not trying to be dismissive, but we all saw it. This is not someone that you'd want in a football game that matters. But what it sounds like behind the scenes, and people can roll their eyes at it, is he gets along really well with everybody, probably knows the ins and outs extremely well, and you know, is the guy that cracks the joke at the right time, is a great team guy, is a supporting buttress for the kind of the grown-ups there in the room, the guys that are going to have to make all the plays, named Jaden Daniels or maybe Mariota. You know, God forbid something happens. But that's why he's around maybe more so than the actual football play.
I would also imagine that they feel like there is an upside to him as a backup quarterback eventually, too. Like, it can't be 100% that they just think he's a good hang. You would find another guy that's a good hang who could play on your practice squad. My guess is they don't think he's as bad as right now everybody in town thinks that he is. And to that point, he had a better preseason last year than he had this year.
100% did.
I think that was kind of a sum of all fears situation with Sam Hartman really struggling with a 4-interception August here. But he is back on the P squad. He'll stay in the organization. The wide receiver position is loaded on the practice squad. And we were wondering, would they keep a sixth wideout? And they didn't. Ja'Cory Brooks, the undrafted free agent from Louisville. Jacoby Jones, who showed some talent as well, a young guy at camp. And then of all the veterans, the one guy that did actually come back to the practice squad was Chris Moore, who had their best training camp, dropped a bunch of passes in the preseason, but he's played in the National Football League. He's caught passes in the league over a lengthy career. So they're going to have options there. if they want to elevate somebody before a game day to have a sixth receiver on the roster. And I still think they may add another wideout to the 53-man from outside the building before it's all said and done. But notably there, Ja'Cory Brooks, interesting player, big, provides size, and was a sure catcher in preseason games. He'll be someone to monitor moving forward.
Yeah, there's something intriguing there for sure. And again, the fact that you're able to get him and others, which I'll go over here in a second, to the practice squad tells you that if a need arises, you can activate the guy. So see three guys last year that played significant snaps for this team that are not on the active roster. Sheldon Day, Michael Dieter, and Jalen Holmes. All were part of rotations. Dieter, of course, filled in for Biadasz and played, you know, almost 20%. Sheldon Day was part of a rotation, played 25% of snaps on a defensive line last year that we know where the struggles were. And I think Jalen Holmes was around 15%. But still, these guys played on this team last year, significant snaps, not just that one time when Bobby Wagner's, you know, the helmet was malfunctioning or something. This is like they were on the football field. They are not now part of this active roster, but you can call them up on game days if, you know, somebody's inactive or someone's down. That's an advantage, right? To have guys in the building that know it, that were part of this thing, but also kind of tells you maybe they, you know, the tide has risen a little bit in terms of the active roster. At least that's the design anyway.
Well, there's your proof that that's happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's evidence. That's all you need to know, that this roster's deeper than last year. When you fast forward 1 year and guys that made the team and played extensively can't make this team. In fact, Adam Peters was asked about the talent on the roster when he spoke to the media at the start of training camp. The last time he talked before today, and him and Dan Quinn within the last hour actually sat down and addressed the media post the Terry McLaurin news that he's got a new contract. But Peters, when he first spoke, was asked a month ago, how would you compare this year's roster to last year's? And he said he thought they were better at almost every position, and he thought substantially this was a more talented team. And of course, that's what he's going to say. But I would say when you cut players like a Cleveland Farrell that's going to have interest around the league, and when you are not able to keep players on your 53-man roster that played a lot down the stretch the previous season, that's a really, really good sign. Doesn't mean you're going to win more football games. When you play a tougher schedule, more arduous quarterback schedule, you're playing the two divisions in the league as an NFC East club that had three teams make the playoffs last year in the AFC West and the NFC North. So a win projection isn't really relevant to this, but you're more talented than you were last year, and I think their cutdown day proves that.
Yeah, on paper, certainly. Again, the proof will be in the pudding. They could also be wrong on players. They could also, you know, not have guys that they paid a bunch of money to or drafted live up to the billing. But yeah, on paper, certainly, given what happened last year, as you said, cut guys that played for them, move guys that played for them significantly to the practice squad, it certainly does look like an upgrade.
We had been waiting for almost two full days for the terms to come out on Terry McLaurin's contract, originally celebrated as a three-year deal worth right around $96 million. What did we find out today, and what does it mean about Terry McLaurin's long-term future in D.C. and the commitment that Adam Peters and Washington made to its wide receiver one? We're going to get into that as soon as we return with you until 6:30. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, welcome back. Thank you for making this show part of your day. We'll take you up to 6:30. At 5 o'clock in a little over 15 minutes, Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Fantasy Sports stops by. We'll talk to him about the wide receiver position as we get you ready for your drafts. And at 6 o'clock this evening, Danny Cannell on college football got a huge slate this weekend, including one of the best games of the year, a couple of top three teams locking horns. So we'll get to that all coming up on Grant and Danny as we go today. But The terms came out on the Terry McLaurin contract. We had been waiting very, very patiently for these, and this is what we now know, Danny. Effectively, the three-year $96 million, which we knew was fluffed up a bit and wasn't exactly what this is going to end up being, is a fancy way of saying, when you really strip everything down, Terry McLaurin signed a one-year extension, reworked this deal for this year, this season. So he's under contract in 25 already, and now he's got a different amount of money he's going to be paid this year. But then they added 1 year, 2026, next season, with guarantees. And after that, there is no guaranteed money. So here's the good news for the player and the agent, right? Terry McLaurin got a decent contract. $29 million APY, average per year, makes him top 10 in the National Football League. $44 million in guaranteed money, tied with Chris Godwin, top 10 in the National Football League. When you consider his age, he actually did pretty well. This is not much of a precedent for a guy at that position that's about to be 30 to get that kind of money. So good for Terry McLaurin. I'm thrilled for him. He's earned every single penny. I wanted him to be taken care of. He is the lieutenant commander. He's the guy that everybody has fallen in love with in this fan base over the years. Set that aside for a second. In terms of the game of chicken and the stare down, Brandon Sosna, who negotiated this deal for the Commanders, and the general manager Adam Peters, who's dug his heels in, completely crushed in this stare down. When you actually look at the numbers and you see that McLaurin has zero guaranteed money after 2026, it means if the team wants to get out of the contract after the 26 season, they can do that. They could only have to pay a $6 million penalty to cut him post-June 1st going into 2027. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think
right,
Terry McLaurin...
But they could.
Exactly. Terry McLaurin's probably going to go out. He's going to be good. He's going to be productive. And they're going to want to keep him around. And by the way, if he keeps performing, if he's catching 70-plus balls for 10-50 and 6-7 touchdowns, he'll be here year after year after year. But this is basically a one-year contract extension tacked on to a raise this season for McLaurin. $44 million in guaranteed is an important number here, but instead of 4 years at $120 or so million, really what this is a two-year deal for a little under $50 million for Terry McLaurin, and the team has the flexibility to move on if they want to after just two seasons. This is pretty amazing.
So it leads to a lot of questions, and you wonder, when could this have been signed? And for both parties, you know what I mean? Not blaming anybody in particular. Could this have been done 2 months ago, 3 months ago? Could this have been done, you know, at any point during the timeline where it seems pretty favorable to the team as far as I can read that, right? So was this just much ado about very little? Was it much, like, what I guess, how much better did McLaurin and his agent do with this entire saga? I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe the guarantees came up several mil, and the APY went from what they were originally, we told, looking at around 25 mil, and it got to 29 mil.
Totally. And it was also one of them from the team's perspective. This is all it took. Why didn't you do this earlier? I mean, again, the questions are things that we'll probably never really have a feel for or know. But I will say, just again, with this data point, the number that the agent, Buddy Baker, gets to put up there is if you go to SpotTrac and you sort by average salary of AAV of receivers, there's Terry McLaurin right behind Garrett Wilson, right behind DK Metcalf, ahead of AJ Brown. That's what he gets to tout, and that's what was the 3 and 96. That's what that was all about. Any digging tells you that's fantasy land, that's fictional. It's not that. It's more kind of what you're talking about. The nuts and bolts of it, the team doesn't have to take a victory lap. They got the contract that they want. So
correct.
Their victory lap will be, we don't owe you diddly or squat, and we have a tiny dead cap hit if we feel like moving on.
By the way, they handled it beautifully. They got a good contract. Here's what I mean by this. They handled the post-agreement part of this beautifully. You let the agent throw out the big numbers. Everybody reacts and says, oh my gosh, the team caved. Terry got paid, you know, all of these things. And you don't have to say a word. You're allowed to just be classy and high road this thing. Quite literally, let the agent have his day. I reached out to somebody with the team at one point, and I'm like, hey, what's the guaranteed money? Like, what's the deal here? Just trying to figure out the actual side of this that the team would put out there. And they said, oh, we're just, you know, we're sitting back here. This, you know, talk to the agent, the player, like, let this is their day kind of thing. Very classy. It's a nice way to do it. But the numbers come out because we got them, and it's very obvious here that it's basically a two-year deal for Terry McLaurin at this point. Now, all that most fans care about, understandably, is that the extension is done, that he'll be on the field against the Giants, and that if he performs, there's a bunch of incentives in this over many years to come, that he can continue to force their hand to keep him on the roster and maybe rework another deal into his mid-30s if he really bucks the trend of wide receiver performance at his age. But from a strictly negotiation standpoint, Sosna, who handles it for the team, and Peters were clinical. Now, I still think there's a conversation to be had. There's a debate to be had over, did it have to be this way?
Should you have been?
Yeah. Should they have done it this way? Like, okay, you guys didn't necessarily take care of him in some loud way over many years. Could you have? Would it have been that different, right? But if the point is just figuring out the contract, which we now have, and then working back from that, they couldn't have gotten a more team-friendly contract with a player that means as much to them as a wide receiver one. Mm-hmm. And the last point I'll make is, I think 2027 is really significant here. Because there's no guaranteed money starting in 27, which will be the third football season from now, I think it tells you a lot about their plans with Jaden Daniels and the rest of the roster. If you look at their 2027 roster, Javon Kinlaw, under contract with some guaranteed money, and Sam Cosmi, who was also extended recently, under contract with some guaranteed money. Other than that, I think John Bates, final year of a $7 million per year deal. It's just rookie contracts. There's nobody that they're allocating cash to that far down the road. And by getting McLaurin's guarantees off the books by then as well, I think it tells you that that's when the Jaden extension is going to kick in. That first offseason, as soon as they're able to, you'll rip up the rest of Daniel's deal. You're not going to worry about the fifth-year extension, and you will do the Justin Herbert, Josh Allen thing, where the second you can, you give him, I mean, my God, at that point, $300 million or whatever that looks like.
Yeah, 75, 80 a year, something like that.
And that excites me, that they it seemingly are planning for having their books wide open in 2027 to immediately start the Daniels extension. Because we've been saying, well, if you pay McLaurin more money and you guarantee him more money and it goes into 27 or even 28 with a little bit of money, who cares? That the Daniels money doesn't have to kick in then yet because you can go to the end of the five-year deal with the extension. But what if you tear the last couple of years of that up as soon as you're allowed to renegotiate after three and pay him then? That's good business. Ask Jerry Jones. The faster you do this, especially in the quarterback market, every time a guy gets paid, it resets and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the better. And I think this was a window into what they're thinking.
Yeah, so you can increase that fourth year or that fifth year from what you normally would get and then maybe pay a little bit less as you go, just in terms of the total money, whatever. I mean, think about buying out arbitration years for young players, or aka what the Braves do. Every time they have a young prospect that comes up, they somehow sign him to like a 10-year deal for a third of market value just because you're getting the guy richer a little bit quicker in those early years. But yeah, I mean, as you look ahead, I mean, I think that discussion is a great sports discussion. Just going back to your first point about, should they have done this? Was this the right thing to do? For folks that, you know, you're rooting for the jersey, you're rooting for the team, long after this group of players is gone, 10 years from now, you'll be rooting for a totally new crop. You go, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense, because you're going to have to, if Terry's 100% the commander tag, Luvu's like 84%, so you got to pay him a little bit more. You got to pay Sanders a little bit more. You probably have to pay Tunsil a premium because he plays at a premium spot. And if this guy, and then you don't want to set that precedent. The other side of that is, and this is a point you've made very well, I would say, over these several months and months and months and months that we've been doing this, is you don't have to break glass for anybody else. You do it for this guy because of what he's been through and what he means and you know how right he is. So who knows where the truth lies. And I think that's going to be fun for folks that want to have that conversation. But it is interesting and it is instructive to sort of see how they do this, right? Where Adam Peters mentioned this at his press conference. Hopefully we're doing a lot of these, because what that means, not having prolonged negotiations that govern everybody's news cycle for 24/7 for 7 months, but it means you've got good players that you want to keep. That's the idea. True. And we've got their blueprint now.
I think for me, I have two takeaways. The first is, if you're Sosna who negotiated this thing or you're Peters who held firm, again, you could not have done anything more team friendly or favorable. And I think just strictly financially, they crushed it, right? But the second part is still relevant and is still an interesting talking point, which is, I heard from one prominent NFL agent today who said both, essentially, the team pummeled the agent, to paraphrase, but then also, you know, and we know why. It's not like Buddy Baker was just incompetent. There was no leverage on the player side. There was tons of leverage on the team side. We had that all along. We get that. But the other thing that this agent said was, I think there's going to be a lot of agents and players around the league that look at this and wonder, wow, if this is what Terry McLaurin got from them after the year he had last year, are they going to take care of anybody in a big, substantial way, or is it just going to be business and by the numbers? Because this is fairly business by the numbers math here. This is not a
right.
Terry's our guy, we love him, so we're going to keep him around here forever. They gave him more money this year, $44 million guaranteed. He and his new wife are going to be just fine. They did very well at his age. But they did a deal to be able to get out of this thing in a couple of years. And if that's what they want to do and he's not performing, that's what they'll be able to do. And frankly, I'm just, the fact that there's no guaranteed money after next football season is shocking to me. Grant and Danny on the Fan, our fantasy series at 5 all week long. We'll talk wide receivers. Speaking of Terry McLaurin, we'll do that next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.